magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 365, recording on, what is this, August 9th, 2018. Recording on Thursday night, actually, because tomorrow I am going to be working from downtown Chicago.
Woo.
So I just won't be in front of all my fancy recording equipment and stuff. Just getting out of the way now. Thanks a ton for everyone that's backing us on Patreon and doing the Amazon Item of the Day stuff that does... A big thing to help us out on the site. If you are not a Patreon person yet, that's cool. But if you appreciate what we do, we'd really appreciate it if you either check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade or check out any of the Amazon items of the day that we've been posting. I try to actually make that stuff interesting and useful. I feel like it's been a good mix of just like random stuff I like and things that are actually useful. So check it out. Should probably put that on the sidebar or the side or something like that so people can.
I think that's a good idea. The Amazon stuff has seemed to be
good traction.
Popular.
Good traction on it so far. I don't know. I'm terrible. I mean, I feel like we're probably just preying on people's impulse shopping online. I do the same shit. Like if I see someone like talking about something cool on Twitter and it's like under $20 on Amazon, because Amazon Prime makes it so easy.
Yeah, right?
If you're like, oh, this cable you're talking about sounds neat. Oh, it's only $4 shipped. All right. Screw it.
Right.
Cool. Like, if you say it's good, neat. Anyway, the reason that we're kind of mentioning that stuff at the top of the show is because, and this is a bit of a, we're doing a bit of a catch up episode from some of the bigger news stories that you missed over the past 2 weeks, since we had an iPhone developer on last week and didn't record the week before, cause I was at an Arena Valor thing. August 1st, which was last week, Apple announced that they are killing the App Store affiliate program, which sucks because that's how sites like Touch Arcade and other third-party editorial outlets make their money. If you're not familiar with how affiliate programs work, basically most links that you click on websites across the entire internet that go to a product that you buy is linked to some kind of affiliate program, where you get a very small commission on things that you refer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very standard thing that most outlets that sell things have, because they realize the importance of like third-party sales drivers.
Yeah.
So it was never really a thing that we ever considered as a possibility that Apple would just get rid of. Because at the end of the day, we're driving sales to their platform.
Well, it feels very pointed, too, because it's apps only, and the music and movies and TV stuff sticks around. So if you're like a movie website that recommends movies through iTunes or something, you're still getting, you know, a kickback from that or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just apps.
Apps and music. Music is in it, too.
And music?
Yeah.
Oh.
So here's what's kind of interesting about this. So for us, the affiliate program, you know, it's been a good chunk of our revenue, but it's been dwindling over the years, largely because back when we started, Touch Arcade games cost money, believe it or not. And most games were anywhere between like $5 to $15. So a tiny cut of like a $10 purchase on average over, you know, the amount of purchases that Touch Arcade can drive on a popular game is pretty decent. Amount of money that keeps the site going and writers to continue getting paid and servers to continue serving and stuff. But you know, as free to play has become a thing, you know, obviously a small percentage of zero is zero. So it's kind of sucked, but at the same time, like Touch Arcade, you know, despite what the internet curmudgeons on Reddit would have you believe, posts, I feel like we highlight a lot of free to play stuff, or not free to play, but a lot of premium stuff. Freudian slip right there, huh? a lot of premium stuff that otherwise would go unnoticed.
Right.
So we still were doing reasonably decent on the affiliate side. So that's just toast now. And I don't know, but so here's the thing. Like, so while it sucks for us, we've kind of adjusted, to be more dependent on Patreon and things like that. Yeah. So it's almost like a death of a thousand cuts kind of scenario in that, like, yeah, fucking, I just wish we could, like, cut a break one of these days.
Yeah.
Cause it's like I can't remember the last time where it's like, oh man, this is great. Like, this is fantastic for Touch Arcade. This, I feel so good about this recent development. Instead, it's like, I guess the thing before this was like when Patreon decided to like completely change their fee structure around. And we were just like, well, that's cool. Because everything else sucked for us, but Patreon's doing pretty good. And then you guys decided to like bamboozle everyone on the dollar tier on Patreon. And that's just kind of been the story of Touch Arcade over the last few years. So.
It's true.
But so the point I was getting at with like, it's kind of good that we've had the Patreon thing rolling is that, so music sites specifically, like there's a lot of, I guess like Touch Arcade equivalent, but like indie iTunes music.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine, you know, like how Touch Arcade highlights a lot of like weirdo indie games that maybe don't get a lot of like featuring or press other places or stuff. Like there's a lot of music sites that do the same thing for weird one-off indie music. Because a lot of those artists put their shit up on Spotify and stuff. But, you know, as anyone that's paid attention to any news surrounding Spotify, you know, a song can get 50 million plays and that results in a check for like $6.
Yeah.
Because their royalty system is so crazy. So there's been a lot of these sites, and I guess like in the indie music scene, there's a lot of like loyalty to like, well, no, I'm going to like buy this album. Like I like that. I'm not going to, you know, I know this artist is only going to get, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 plays on Spotify. So like, let me just give him 10 bucks for the album on iTunes. It seems like, seems like the music scene has a lot more, not that the app scene doesn't, but it seems like there's more loyalty to, I like this thing, here's $15.
Without a doubt.
Without the same hesitation that we'll see on the app side of things, where it's like, I like this thing, I like the developer, but I don't know, I got a bunch of games and I'll wait for this to go on sale.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll buy it then, kind of thing. But, you know, just different, totally different markets. And I totally understand the, you know, the rationale for both. But the point I'm getting at, which I'm still trying to get to, is that these music sites are super fucked now, because like they were still in the kind of like iTunes affiliate halo that we were under in like 2009 or so, when it was like, damn, this is killing it. Like, like you could live off like, you know, the kind of affiliate money, you know, that you're getting when your primary purchase is like a $10 purchase. So really super curious to see what happens with that, because I almost feel like, I mean, like Touch Arcade, like we'll figure it out. Like, I don't know, like somehow always do. Like a cat with unlimited lives somehow.
Don't say that.
Oh yeah, I don't know how many lives.
It's pretty nasty, I feel like. And then the past week has been filled with, you know, a lot of great support and then a lot of randos from the peanut gallery telling us like, you know,
this, oh my God,
how business works, and it's such a good move by Apple, and man, they know what they're doing, and it's, they don't need you anymore, so why pay for it? Blah blah blah. And it's like, all right, thanks.
Well, you know, so that kind of thing like comes down to like the classic reason that a lot of people that we've banned from Touch Arcade over the years like really just don't understand why they got banned, and that like it's not what you're saying, it's like how you're saying it. Like a lot of those people like just decide like, how can I be as big of a cock as humanly possible in this situation that sucks for these guys?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which just seems really unnecessary when it's like, when you could just easily say like, oh dude, like, you know, I'm glad your Patreon's doing well, but this really sucks. Like, you guys shouldn't be dependent on one revenue stream. Like, it's just a bad business move. Like, that's a very reasonable statement, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to like, well, what'd you expect, you dumb fucks?
Yeah.
Kind of thing, which, and it's also been like, man, ever since we like put up the post about how it's like, man, this is kind of scary and it really sucks that like Apple's going to be the one that like really shuts off a primary revenue source for us, has been like a who's who of every fucking band dickhole over the years. Like, it's actually been like, it's been kind of amusing because, I don't know, man, like doing community management for like 10 years, like there's definitely people that stick out of like, that are like, man, you are so crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you're gone. And I just really haven't thought about you since you stopped being a pain in my ass, you know?
Yeah.
And then it like turns out like we post something like this and it's like that person has just been obsessing over us since they got banned 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, this makes me feel
waiting for their moment to strike.
It makes me feel unsafe. More than anything else. But I don't know. Anyway, kind of lighthearted take on that, I guess. But, you know, we'll make do. Really appreciate all the new Patreon support and everything else. So
I'm used to eating ramen by now. So that's my main diet.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, ramen and Coors Light.
Yeah.
With the occasional frozen burrito sprinkled in to spice things up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, I don't know. I could go on all day about the ridiculous situation that we're in right now, but like so that story segues perfectly into what happened I don't know, maybe 8 hours after that and that Apple became the first publicly traded U.S. company in the world to hit $1 trillion market cap.
Yeah. Hot gif, by the way.
Yeah, no, so if you didn't see the story on the site, I found a gif of Scrooge McDuck. I think this is actually from the intro of DuckTales, right, where he gets the tidal wave of coins.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like the cool thing about, I don't know, like I'm glad Apple's doing well, you know, like don't get me wrong. Like I, you know, even though they've kind of done us dirty, like whatever, you know, there's a lot of retirement funds are heavy on Apple and like everything else. And you know, like this is cool that they're doing this well. So two interesting things that came of this story that came to mind when I wrote it. And like, first of all, remember when Forrest Gump came out in 1994 and there's the part in the movie where like he checks his mail and is like, oh, Lieutenant Dan got me invested in some fruit company and I guess I just don't need to worry about money anymore, right?
Yeah.
So the amusing, like thinking about this in retrospect, like the amusing part about that is that when everyone watched that movie in 1994, they're like, fuck, dude, I sure missed the boat on Apple. God damn. Right. Like, I wish I was as smart as Forrest Gump. When, like, in actuality, if you would have put any money into Apple in 1994, you would be dirty rich right now.
Yeah.
So much so that, like, there's a bunch of these weird little, like, sites that people have just put up that, that take into account, like, the cost of Apple stock versus, like, other stuff. So this site here I found to be equally parts hilarious and depressing. So it's whatifibotappleinstead.com. So we'll do you, Jared, what's your birth month?
June.
June of 81?
81.
That's what I thought. Would you say your family's probably like what, middle income?
Sure.
I don't know. I feel like that's safe. You can go to college, right?
No.
Okay, so what this site does is calculate the opportunity cost in Apple stock of raising a child if all the costs associated to childcare you invested in Apple instead. So Jared, a child born in 1981 to a middle income family, has estimated to cost his family an opportunity cost equivalent to Apple stock that over the last, what, how old are you now? 37 years would now be worth $38 million.
Wow. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of an absurd comparison because it's like in order to get that number, it's like your mom in June 1981 had to have been like, you know what, I'm just going to pretend to have a kid, but I'm going to buy Apple stock instead of diapers and food and pencils.
It's silly, but it's kind
of funny. Stuff. But yeah, there's a bunch of others. There's a few other sites too that like figure like how much money you would have if you would have bought like Apple stock instead of, you know, like an Apple II or something like that, which, you know, again, is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars of how much you'd be ahead. But anyway, so it's just kind of, you know, sort of a silly thing. Anyway, so the last, the return of the Jedi, if you will, of the trilogy of ridiculous Apple stories this week actually happened this morning, in that a bunch of developers woke up, well, I guess not a bunch, but people that this applies to woke up to a notice in their inbox saying that specifically they say in order to reduce fraudulent activity on the App Store and comply with government requests to address illegal online gambling activity, we are no longer allowing gambling apps submitted by individual developers. This both includes real money gambling apps as well as apps that simulate the gambling experience. So this means that, like, so what's interesting, what's so crazy about this is that most of the early App Store games and jailbreak games were like simple card games like video poker, blackjack,
Apple had, you know, like, Texas Hold'em Poker.
Yeah, even Apple had their own poker game, and so I wish I remember that to throw that in here. And you know, that was just kind of like the normal sort of like, all right, well, you know, the App Store is a thing, and we have this weird touch interface that we don't really know what to do with, so I guess I'll just make a blackjack thing just to, you know, like try making an iPhone game and releasing it or whatever. So, so one developer who actually is a Chicago native that I know, Patrick McCarran, is a developer of Blackjack 21, which I would find it hard to believe that very many people listening to this podcast would remember the game, but it was one of the first, if not the first, blackjack game that came out. And like, dude's got videos of it like being played on Attack of the Show and stuff when it was like, oh, the App Store is a new thing. Like, let's check out six of these weird app things. Isn't this crazy? So a game that's been on the App Store since the beginning is no longer welcome on the App Store because in Apple's eyes, it's simulating gambling. When in actuality, the functionality of this game is no different than like the stupid little Tiger handheld blackjack machines that like every grandma on the planet owns.
Well, I think it's weird too that it's specifically, if you're just an individual developer, if you are incorporated, then you're fine. And so like what's going on behind the scenes that is prompting them to do this, and what sort of weird scams have been getting run that I don't know about has prompted all of this stuff? Like, it's super weird to me.
I mean, so I'm of two minds of this. Like, one being, all right, so, you know, as we know from trolling the App Store, you know, release feeds and stuff, like the amount of complete shitware slot machine reskins that are on the App Store is just out of control. Absolutely insane. However, so like, if they get rid of that, like, cool. But it's really not that big of a hassle to just like, I mean, like getting incorporated is amounts to like going to LegalZoom.com, paying like, depending on your state, anywhere between like $100, $300 in different like filing fees, and then you're good to go. So in actuality, like, this isn't really going to stop any of those people, because presumably they're making enough money to go to the trouble of incorporating if they're spamming the App Store with hundreds of slot machine apps a day, right?
Right, but somebody that's a solo developer that has a game that's 11 years old that probably doesn't get downloaded anymore, but is like sort of sentimental value.
Right.
That's, you're not going to go pay $300 for something that doesn't make you money anyway, just to keep around or whatever.
So the rest of this dude's Twitter time, and I didn't want to put too much more in there because I don't know. Stories that are just like, check out these 15 tweets always kind of like annoy me.
Yeah.
But the rest of his timeline is like, you know, I needed to update this thing to iOS 11 anyway, and, you know, updating to iOS 11 plus incorporated and everything else is just, like, going to push me to the fuck it zone, because, like, you know, it's the game probably is making, like, $2 a year, if that, you know, so that sucks. And, like, the other weird side effect of this is they apparently are, like, pulling down games that just, like, have slot machine mechanics in them. Like, what was the game that you found today that got pulled?
Sprinkanoid or something like that. It's a game that just came out this year, and it's actually a brick breaker, but I guess it has like a mini game or a bonus game or something like that that's sort of like a slot machine, and so they got pulled just for that, even though the actual game is a brick breaker game.
I wonder if that you remember King Cashing? King Cashing. I think we argued about it, how we pronounce it every time we talk about it.
Those
I wonder if those also have to be in the mix, right? If those guys are incorporated.
I think those got pulled a long time ago anyway, though.
Wow.
Because they weren't 64-bit and all that good stuff.
Yeah. That's
My bad. They're here. They live. They're not pulled.
Not pulled. See, that's
they have been updated since 2013.
That's those guys must be incorporated then, because that would be like straight up redonkulous if it's like, I don't know, this blackjack game is too close to simulating gambling versus like a game that's literal primary gameplay component is a slot machine.
Maybe because it's your slot machining for like battle, you know, battling and stuff like that.
I don't know.
It's all very, very Apple-like to be super vague and not consistent at all, and just be this weird thing that they spring on everybody with no warning.
Yeah, so I don't know. Apple being Apple, it's just kind of like one more thing of this like chain of events. We're just like, really, dudes? Like, is this what you're doing?
Can't wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. So anyway, this would have been late July, so about a week, about 2 weeks ago now. We didn't talk about it on the podcast, but I went to the Arena of Valor World Cup in Los Angeles at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. They invited me. I flew out. Stayed at a really. Tencent put me up in this absurdly nice hotel, which was pretty cool. Like the amount of room. Like I had this like crazy king suite they put me in, and like the square footage is like 2/3 the size of my house. It was I don't know, like, so my favorite hotel that I've ever been in my life was a hotel that I stayed in when I was in Japan, which was seriously like the bathroom from like an RV, a twin size bed, and like just enough room for you kind of like sidle back and forth between the two, right, and then go out.
Yeah.
Like when I go somewhere, like particularly in business, like that is all I need. A place to shower.
Well, I think it's stupid. Like, yeah, when you have like a suite that has like a full blown kitchen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Especially if you're there for like a night or two. I don't know. It just feels like a huge waste to have like a separate living room and stuff.
It's ridiculous. Like I had this whole like sitting area for 12 and like all this stupid stuff that I don't know. Like I said, the Japanese hotels and the crazy part, that hotel in Japan was like $60 a night. And the reason is because they could pack absolutely like 1,000 rooms into one hotel because it's just a twin size bed and a toilet and a super tiny shower. I mean, like, what else do you need? Anyway, so the Arena of Valor World Cup is pretty cool. So they've been doing this thing for a while now where all these different countries have their own individual tournaments. The winners of those tournaments go on to like represent the country. And then over a 5-day period, the World Cup took place, where they did like the qualifying rounds and stuff like that, where a bunch of people got eliminated, including the United States team, of course, because you know, in any esports situation, Americans can't hang.
We're bad at everything.
Against Koreans, Chinese people, any Asian country always seems better than American countries at esports. But yeah, it's I don't know. It was a very interesting experience because Arena of Valor, which is known as Honor of Kings in China, is like the biggest thing ever over there. Like seriously, like whatever your idea is of a huge game, like I promise, whatever you think you have, Honor of Kings in China is bigger. Like it is just ridiculous how huge this game is. So, and Tencent is able to, like when they hold events there, it's not a matter of selling out or I'm sorry, it's not a matter of like worrying about whether or not people are going to come. It's like any venue they have is full.
Yeah.
Like people like the game that much, they'll just come. Like tens of thousands of people show up to these events in China, which made the North American location for the World Cup quite odd, as there was like, I don't even know how to estimate how few people were there, because like, I feel like if you took out the players' families, the different support staff that were there, the Tencent people and stuff like that, and journalists, you'd be left with, I don't know, a couple dozen people, maybe.
Well, you were saying too that they even said it was very geared towards being a streaming thing.
Right,
they really
want to
serve the online audience more than anything, whatever. But that said, you're having it at this like cool historic sort of theater in Los Angeles. And they didn't have any sort of way for people to like buy tickets up front.
Yeah.
They were just passing by and being interested in what's going on and maybe wandering in and becoming a fan or something like that. And they just weren't equipped to handle that situation.
Yeah. So here's like the most absurd thing about this whole thing. It's like, don't get me wrong. Like the event was super fun. The stream production quality was top tier. The actual like gameplay of this, like if you just watch this without knowing like it was a mobile game, you would have no idea that people were playing on phones. Like it was really, really cool. But it just seemed like just such a wasted opportunity to have it in this like really cool venue in the heart of Hollywood that was like empty.
Yeah.
Like, because like, so outside, if you've never been to Los Angeles before, the Chinese Theater is like basically at the center of the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So the amount of pedestrian traffic outside of it is borderline obnoxious, because it's just like,
and nothing, fake Spider-Mans and stuff.
Yeah. It's just like Times Square in New York, like fake Spider-Mans and stuff like that, like trying to get you to like give them money to take a picture with you and stuff like that. And the whole sidewalk is those like Hollywood stars, you know, so like people lining up to take photos and stuff like that. The Donald Trump star is actually like right outside too. And that was when it was vandalized and everyone was taking photos with that and like throwing their trash on it and stuff, which is kind of... I don't know. I was just kind of like watching this spectacle, being like, "All right, this is a thing." But yeah, so anyway, it was just crazy that there were more people standing on the sidewalk outside than were in the actual auditorium. And
yeah.
And like Jared was saying, like I was relaying this on Discord, and I was just like, dude, my mind is blown here. Like the team that put this on, the idea of it not selling out had not even like crossed their minds.
Yeah.
So there was no like, all right, well, how do we handle like foot traffic, you know, from the mm-hmm. sidewalk or whatever mm-hmm. else? And they were like seriously turning people away.
Man.
Which I don't know. I mean, like, what's the worst thing that happens? Like randos from the street come in, sit for a while, you know, get seen right. on camera as a crowd in the audience and
yeah.
an event, maybe buy a hot dog for $10 from the right. concession stand and then be like, all right, well, you know, this is kind of dumb. I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, like that, I feel like that's absolute worst case scenario on that. So I don't know, just a very strange.
Well, I wonder about Arena Valor because it's hard to gauge how successful it's actually been since it launched in North America, and obviously not as big as it is in the Asian countries. But like, I just wonder if they're like happy with how things are going, or if there's just keep on keeping on and hoping that things really catch on in a similar way, or if it's just not destined to be as popular in North America. And I always thought it was kind of weird they changed the name too.
Well, so
I feel like you should have just kept the name.
here's the thing with so I talked to their I don't remember what the guy's title was. He was like the esports lead or esport franchise. I don't know. Someone whose job it is to worry about that basically.
Yeah.
And I asked him like basically that question straight up, and it kind of seems like what Tencent is doing is like playing the long game on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and we've kind of talked about this a lot, and that there's, you know, a whole generation of kids growing up right now that playing on their phone is just how they play games. It's mm-hmm. a very normal thing. You know, like I have friends that have, or a friend that has a, I think his kids are like 10, 12, and 14. And they're all super into Fortnite. They play Fortnite on their phones. Mm-hmm. They don't have an Xbox. They don't have a PC. They play it on their phone. That's just how that's how they play. That's the game to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as those people like branch out to other games, Arena of Valor is there for them.
Right.
You know. So whereas in Asian territories, like they primarily didn't grow up with, you know, like gaming PCs and consoles and stuff like that. So if you wanted to play a game, you're playing it on your phone.
Yeah.
So they never kind of like had this like weird thing that we're kind of sorting out here, where you have these like schisms between people that are like, oh, I'd never play a phone game, a PC gamer, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Whereas because it's just like everyone's like, yeah, I play games and I play them on my phone because that's what I have. And it's just normal.
Yeah.
You know, so, and eventually I feel like that crossover will also happen in North America.
Yeah.
At which case, Tencent is going to be positioned in an amazing place because it'll be like, dude, we've got this incredible MOBA that's the best on the platform that has 5+ years of content updates in it. I mean, like for real, Arena of Valor is an unbelievable game. Like the amount of shit there is to do in it is straight up crazy. I mean, like,
yeah,
you could play the game every day for the next year, never play the same game twice, and still not unlock everything
right
just by playing.
Right.
But with that being said, like they were the way that they were doing their stats of this was a little weird. So when you looked at viewer numbers across, you know, like so it streamed on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and in game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like where their fuzzy math comes in on like how many people are watching this.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled it up during the finals, and the finals was great. Finals is the best of seven that went to game seven. And it was a super dramatic like finish where it really could have gone either way. Like as far as the championship game was concerned, like it couldn't have gotten better. I mean, like it was like when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup on a game seven, like it was like that level of like, oh my God, this is like so dramatic. I can't even handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So 500 people on Twitch, around 2,000 people on Facebook, 2,500 or so on YouTube, and 2,000-ish people watching in-game connected to the North American server. Now, here's where things get interesting, is that they claim that on the Chinese side, if you load up Honor of Kings, there will be, like, millions of people watching in-game.
Mm.
Which is just one of those things that seems really fishy to me. Like, do you remember, and this kind of gave me the same vibe of, like, remember like the 3 days where like all of a sudden every single one of those Fun Plus Game of War clones were like number one, two, and three in the top grossing. And like we reached out to him and they're like, yeah, we don't have a comment. When like that is like a huge fucking story that like Forbes would cover, is like, whoa, why, like how did your company just suddenly become the number one top grossing unless they were doing something shady? And I feel like their stream numbers are kind of a similar situation, because like if you could say definitively that you had like 20 million concurrent people watching this esports event, like dude, that would rewrite everything. It would rewrite history as far as esports.
You're the biggest esport event that's ever happened.
Yeah, by a factor of like 10 or 20. I mean like so the Fortnite Pro-Am thing, I think they hit like 1.2 million concurrents, and that was like earth-shaking incredible news. So it just seems a little shady to me that like if they're claiming that they've got like 10 to 20x the numbers of that, like why wouldn't you be standing from like the top of the Empire State Building like screaming that to anyone that'll listen? Right? So I don't know. And again, I don't mean to be overly harsh on the whole thing. Like it just seems a little weird, and I'm sure they'll figure it out. I really enjoy playing Arena of Valor, and always happy to be included on stuff like this. So just want to like, I don't mean to come off like I'm being too harsh on the thing, but it's just like one of those things
Well,
where
it's
just like
weird though.
an
There's a
eyebrow
lot of things
raise.
to like question, and I don't know. It's definitely feels like they're finding their legs in this, North America,
Yeah, I bet.
which things obviously operate a lot differently over here.
Yeah, and I feel like mobile esports as a whole is still kind of like figuring things out. So even if the Arena of Valor World Cup turned out to be kind of a weird event, both in as a spectator as well as like the overall view numbers or whatever, like I'm still really happy that there's companies that are continuing to plug away at like trying to crack the nut of like what is going to be like the mobile esport thing that has traction. So for that, I'll pour one out for Tencent.
Good
Although
on you.
they don't need someone like me to pour anything out for them. They're fucking
Pour one on us,
filthy. Yeah, seriously.
Tencent.
So yeah, I don't know. It's a thing. So another we talked Ryan Noodlecake and I talked about this quite a bit last week, but I just figured we could hit on it again in case you have any particular hot takes on the Android side of things. So Fortnite's coming to Android. They are rolling their own distribution network called it's the Fortnite Installer, which seems like an odd name for this, but they are basically extending both middle fingers up to Google Play and being like, dude, you guys don't provide the value that your 30% cut is taking from us, so we're just doing it ourselves. Go fuck yourselves. Which,
Yeah, I think it's probably going to work for them. I don't think it's going
yeah.
to be a big deal. When you see the weird hoops that people try to jump through to get these non-official Android ports of Fortnite
Oh my
that
God,
have come
yeah.
along, you know what I mean? Like people are in our Discord all the time being like, "Oh, here's my credit card number, here's my social, like whatever, like just give me the APK." And it's like, "Okay, well, that game's not even
Here's
out
my
yet."
mom's
Like
maiden name. Just give me the fucking APK.
So it's like I think a lot of the detractors of this whole thing are thinking like people aren't going to jump through those hoops, and I'm like, yes, kids
Dude,
are the main
I
demographic
know.
of Fortnite, and they will jump through some hoops. Think
I
of the
know.
things you did when you were a kid to do certain
Well,
things,
dude,
like.
yeah, like the more I thought about this, I don't think I brought this up last week, but like this reminds like I feel like the perfect rebuttal to this is God, what were the names of some of those networks of like weird shit that you had like view ads, fill out surveys and like download games and do all sorts of like crazy crap to like gain credits that would then you could cash out for like a $10 iTunes gift card. Do you remember all
What
those?
the heck was it? Tapjoy?
No, I think they're an ad network. I
Know
don't,
you're talking about,
you know what I'm
but
talking like so
sign up for a Discover card, get 60,000
yeah. So
blueberry
these things for quite a while were kind of a problem on our forums because
Yeah.
like the way they worked was heavily dependent on affiliate promotions. So like say I register for one of these services, like I get some kind of bonus for like getting Jerry to sign up with through my link, right? So it was
Yeah.
like a nightmare of like kids just like disguising these links in crazy ways and everything else to like try to get as many people to sign up for their thing as possible, because like for every person they do, they get the credit equivalent of like 25 cents in iTunes credit. And like for real, the amount of effort you had to put in for a $10 gift card was straight up incredible. And but like the crazy thing is like these kids would do it because it'd be like, oh, Modern Combat's coming out, like I gotta fill out all my surveys and like all this other stuff. And like people would post about how hard they were working to get their iTunes credit. And my thing was always like, man, dude, if you're putting this much effort into like scamming this program that's kind of like really scamming you, like go out and cut the grass, like go ahead, knock on your neighbor's door and be like, hey, I'll cut your grass, you give me $10. It'd be way easier and take you way less time. But I don't know.
How many cereal box tops do I need for Fortnite on Android? I'm
Seriously,
ready.
seriously. So, actually, today it launched on exclusive to Samsung Galaxy device. I don't know if it's exclusive to the Galaxy 9 or whatever else, but it's slowly rolling out.
I think it's a few models, actually. I think that
Yeah.
was I was surprised to hear that. But yeah, it's still technically they're calling it the beta still,
Well,
so.
yeah. So here's, I mean, I'm sure they'll never come out and say this publicly, but here's what they're doing. They're releasing the game to test it on like the top tier hardware that can just run it with no problem before they release it to everyone, including like the, $20 Walmart prepaid phones and stuff like
But that
that.
makes sense for all the weird Samsung stuff that came out, like in lines of code that people were looking at and things like that. A lot of people thought it would be Samsung exclusive forever.
I'm glad that I got busy yesterday with posting about or getting caught up with Amazon stuff because like I was gonna post and I had it all written into my head of like there's no fucking way that Fortnite is gonna launch as an Android exclusive or as a Samsung exclusive, and my thesis was going to be like, when you do an exclusive with someone, it's because like you need something, like so for instance, like the media world, when someone reaches out to someone like us for an exclusive, it's because like I, as a PR person, I know like, oh, if Touch Arcade agrees to this exclusive, I know that I will have this coverage on launch day kind of thing, because like they also benefit as being like the sole source of information about this game. So it's like really like give and take kind of thing where both parties benefit. And my argument was going to be Fortnite's the biggest fucking game in the world by a factor of 10 right now,
They don't
although
need
maybe
anybody.
not as big as Honor of Kings in China, to caveat that, but
Right.
they don't need jack shit. They don't need anything from anyone. Like Samsung can sit and spin because like every single person that buys a new Samsung phone is gonna get the Fortnite installer, regardless of whether or not Samsung has anything to do with it.
Right.
But I don't know. I guess I'm glad
Maybe
I didn't.
Samsung backed a truckload of money up to them or something, but even that I don't think they need,
Well, right,
so.
and that was gonna be my argument too. Is like, all right, well then maybe Samsung, maybe the way this happens is Samsung just dump trucks them with money. But the game's making so much cash that, like, how much money would they need to dump on them to be like, oh, all right, yeah, cool, that sounds good.
A lot more than probably worth it, but
I don't know. So I guess I'm glad that I kept that hot take to myself,
yeah.
because I would have been eating a lot of, in the words of John Gruber, clam chowder.
Oh,
Clam clam chowder.
delicious.
Clam chowder would be served hot, piping hot.
I do think though this might be a turning point for digital app store stuff because Epic's being pretty bold doing this, and then they their own store where they sell games, they change the revenue share or whatever to where it's like it's 88-12 or something like that instead of 70-30,
Right.
and so that's kind of setting a standard. Man, that made a lot of people, perk up when they heard that because it seems like it makes a lot more sense in the long run for everybody. Because you look at Apple and it's like, okay, back in the day, like, yeah, you're the only game in town. But nowadays, it's sort of like, I don't know, 30% just seems heavy for what you're getting in
Right.
return. So I could really see those start to drop. Apple and Android kind of follow suit and kind of lower their take to kind of entice more people to want to do mobile releases and make it actually worthwhile. But I don't know. It might all start here. I kind of feel like this could be a turning
Yeah.
point.
Well, so another interesting thing about this, and this has just kind of been like simmering on the back burner since 2011, believe it or not, is Apple versus Pepper, which is this thing that like pops up every now and again in like anti-Apple think pieces and stuff like that, where this dude, Robert Pepper, who must just be like independently wealthy, I don't know where he's getting his money from to pursue a Apple legal case for the last 7 years, is taking an antitrust case that's actually going to go to the Supreme Court next
Oh,
year.
that's right.
over.
Yeah, I forgot about this thing.
Well, right, because it's so old, and it just, like, yeah. Every once in a while it'll pop up. It'll be like a new development no one cares about, because it's like, yeah, all right, yeah. This fucking kook is suing Apple and, like, whatever. So it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with that, because, like, if this, like, imagine a situation where Apple versus Pepper goes to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decide that, like, they find in Pepper's favor, and that, like, there is an actual antitrust claim to be found on the App Store, and they need to, and then Apple needs to allow third party, like, sideloading of apps, which would allow these third party stores.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, if that happens, it is going to be fucking bananas.
Well, it sucks because I feel like in you know, by definition, what the guy's saying is probably true. I think Apple has a monopoly with their App Store because they're the only avenue to release apps on iPhone. And so, like, I guess that's kind of the definition of a monopoly. But at the same time, I've always been fine with that. I've never been the one that's, like, wanted to do weird sideloading and stuff like that. Like, I like knowing that I can get stuff from the App Store and it's not going to break my shit.
Well,
and
imagine a situation where it's, like, you could sideload other app stores in, and you're like, you know what? Like, the App Store kind of sucks for games, so I'm gonna get Steam on my phone, or whatever the Steam equivalent is. That's like an App Store that's like for gamers. That's like curated for games. That has like a bunch of rules that, like, you know, keep like abusive free to play bullshit out and like other stuff. That would be huge.
I don't know if I'd ever use it though. I'd be too scared.
Well, but if it was from like an actual like reliable,
I guess that's true.
I mean, because like, yeah, on the PC world, it's like every major publisher has their own launcher now. Yeah. So it would stand to reason that like that would also exist on mobile in some form, which I mean, people like to make like a lot of like, oh, the sky is falling. This is going to completely fuck up the Android ecosystem. You're going to need to have 30 different launchers on your phone and stuff like that. And like, yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, but that's been the case in the PC world for a while now. And it's like really not that annoying. It's like, if I want to play Assassin's Creed, I load up Uplay. If I want to play Battlefield, I load up EA Origin. If I want to play like Team Fortress,
I feel like,
you know, I load
like,
up Steam.
You know, specific app stores on desktop is a relatively new thing because in the 90s and stuff, you just download things from like a developer's website or whatever. It wasn't really like you had a lot of stores you could go to.
Yeah.
And so it would just be like that. I think the iPhone maybe should be more like, you know, how PCs are.
I don't think it would be a bad move. I mean, because like, imagine a situation where it's like, oh, fuck, Apple killed the affiliate program. Like, that's okay. Like, we'll just link out to, you know, this other, the Amazon iOS store or whatever that does do.
I imagine that Apple, besides liking not wanting to see control, I think that all the people that are not cautious about this sort of thing and just download crazy malware stuff constantly and then take it into the Apple store and are mad about Apple for stuff like that, that's probably something that worries them too.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is going to need to be figured out on this, like on both sides of the fence, like assuming Apple versus Pepper goes the way of like a free market kind of, you know, multiple app store thing, or like Android starts going the way of PC with multiple launchers. Like, there's going to be a lot of growing pains, but I think overall it's going to be really good to break the stranglehold of the platforms or more importantly, force the platforms to compete against these other, you know, other app stores or whatever we want to call them, because like you know, if the iOS app store stops becoming like the predominant way to get apps because another store comes along that has like way less shitware and like you know is way better for developers and everything else, like Apple is going to have no choice but to respond.
That's true.
And
man, that's crazy to think about.
You know, like, we'll see what happens, I guess. I don't know. So something to think about in the future. So speaking of Valve, Artifact will actually be playable at PAX West, so we'll be able to get another look at it. I went to Valve earlier this year to check out the game and got a super limited demo. It was like, it was basically like, all right, here's the vertical slice that works, go ahead and play it kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm really curious to see if it's going to be the same demo, if they're going to have like more decks and more variety and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a release date, November 28th, for $19.99 on the PC, with mobile to follow in 2019.
Hmm.
So, real interesting developments, and they're also like confirming again the fact that like your cards will be tradable and sellable on the Steam marketplace. So for your $20, you're effectively getting like the equivalent of like in the Magic the Gathering world, like, you know, the starter deck pack mm-hmm. that has, you know, mm-hmm. like a bunch of cards that you could just turn around and sell to someone else if you felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. really super curious to see what happens about this. We got a I responded to the email about this like fucking instantly. So I think we have their first appointment at PAX. Cool. So hopefully we can glean some interesting information out of Valve and stuff like that. So I meant to put this more in line with the Fortnite news, but you know, whatever, I'm an idiot. Mission Impossible Fallout got added to PUBG Mobile. I guess they're like really doubling down on like the weird crossover thing, which is cool, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, you know, if you play the game, you can make your guy look like Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible Fallout.
God, I have like literally zero opinion on this whatsoever.
I know. It's just like one of those things where it's like, that's the thing that's happening and that's cool, I guess. I don't
Great.
Know.
Yeah.
That PUBG Mobile has been like really, really strange. The PR people behind it are like the same PR people that like rep like every weird Chinese thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been promoting this like PUBG Mobile Invitational thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they like emailed me several times about it, then emailed me to confirm that I got the emails, and I responded back like, oh, yeah, this sounds cool. Like, you know, I'd love to come out if you guys are having people out and all this stuff. And they're like, oh, it's online only. And I responded like, so wait, it's an invitational where you're inviting no one? Is that the case? And I got no response, so I guess they weren't having my snide, snarky responses.
We're inviting you to join the internet.
We're inviting you to watch. But from the comfort of your own home.
Right.
So this is kind of a cool story. Rome Total War hit the iPad, what was that, earlier this year? Late last year or something like that?
I think it was last year, yeah.
So really good, like full-blown port of the PC game. Kind of surprisingly enough, they're supporting all the way back to the sixth generation iPod Touch, which I found to be super surprising about this.
Yeah.
Like I was expecting like, well, for two things. Like, first of all, I never thought it would come to the iPhone because like when you play the iPad version of the game, it's like one of those games where you're like, the UI is almost overwhelming on the iPad.
Yeah.
And you're just like, man, I have no fucking idea how they're going to make this work on the iPhone. And second of all, I thought that it was going to be one of those things where it's like, it works on the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10. That's it.
Right.
But to go all the way back to the fucking iPod Touch, Jesus.
Yeah. Rome Total War came out in November of 2016.
That long ago? Man. I'm like, this is the problem with like iOS stuff. Like so many games come out so quickly that like I'm losing like all memory markers of like when this was a thing. Like, because if you told me Rome Total War came out 3 months ago, I'd be like, all right, yeah, that seems
right.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go's got some news that's happened recently. They're hoping to add PvP before the end of the year, which once again raises the question of, would this game have done better than it has done now if they launched it this feature complete?
I don't know. I think that's a question that you'll never know the answer to because it seemed like such a perfect storm when Pokemon first came out and became this weird phenomenon.
But just imagine if it had the features in it to like that allowed you to like not get burnt out so quickly.
Yeah.
Because like I burnt out on Pokemon Go in a big way because you know we had like that like initial like I don't know like 3 weeks to a month where it was like, oh dude, fucking Pokemon Go is amazing. They got to go out and walk around, catch Pokemon and stuff, and then you kind of hit the realization where you're like, all right, I've caught all these Pokemon and like I can't trade them with people. I can't fight people with them. The gym battle system seems weird / sort of dumb.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of over
it. I think it would definitely have been a bigger thing, you know, had it launched at that exact same time frame, but with all these features they've added in the last couple of years, probably more people would be playing, but I think they're not unhappy with the numbers of people that still play.
Yeah. But it's still funny,
so they're like, well, whatever. But
that's the caveat of every like Pokemon Go rant about how the game's dying. It's like, okay, even in your eyes, a dead Pokemon Go is exponentially more successful than most free-to-play games.
There's only 50 million daily active players, so
it's totally dead. R.I.P. Pokemon Go.
I do wish I had a time machine, though. It'd be interesting to see.
No, yeah, for real. So if you have any of the Sega Forever titles and don't have them on your phone or haven't paid attention to them, they all got updated. Well, I guess with rare exception of the few that had already been recently updated to update the emulator that runs them. So the big feature for this, so some games have like weird bug fixes to them, but like primarily the main feature that has been added is the rewind functionality. Mm-hmm. So you can rewind up to 15 seconds every 30 seconds. So you can't like spam it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like, you know, fall and die or whatever, you can be like, all right, well, let me rewind and try that again, which is cool.
Yeah. Playing Mega Man Legacy Collection, I've really fallen in love with that rewind feature. And I've also can't comprehend how I beat those games when I was a kid.
Oh, I know. Like that's what I thought about. I stood in line like a fucking idiot to get the NES Classic when that came out, you know, and playing those games, like a lot of games that I had when I was a kid, not only beat, but beat on like a single rental.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the 2 or 3 days or whatever you got to rent a Nintendo game for.
Yeah.
And man, as an adult going back to those games, like if they didn't have the save state functionality in there, I would be like, this is too frustrating. I am never going to beat this in a million years.
Totally. So many parts in Mega Man where I'm like, this is downright impossible. And the only reason I beat it is because I rewinded 30 billion times and I got the like perfect exact little thing where I missed a bullet and didn't die and killed the boss or whatever. And it was just like, I did this straight up when I was a kid.
Dude, the first Mega Man, that was a game that I could play to completion.
Yeah.
In one sitting. Easily.
Like, was my motor skills actually better back then? Or is it just because I had so much time and didn't really know what impatience was? So I didn't mind that I played, you know, it might have taken me a week straight of playing the same section and leaving my, you know, Nintendo on overnight every day and trying a billion times in a row because you just had to beat something. Like, that mentality, I feel like, is gone now when you get older.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's a product of, like, how much choice you have now. Mm-hmm. And, like, for instance, like when I was a kid and could beat Mega Man in one playthrough, that's because like at the time I probably had like three games and it was like, do I want to play Super Mario / Duck Hunt again? Do I want to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or do I want to play Mega Man? Because that's what I got. And I got a whole weekend to do nothing.
Yep.
So
that's
I'm going to figure it out. As opposed to now, it's like you play an iPhone game, it's frustrating. It's like, well, fuck it. I have got 50 games I haven't even loaded yet on my phone.
Right.
So I don't know. It's cool to see that Sega's, you know, doing something to maintain.
They've come a long way with their Sega Forever stuff.
Remember how jank
the
first
rocky start, but man, they've done really well. Now all they really need to do is branch out from Genesis games because it's predominantly that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the second they start plunking down some really cool Dreamcast ports or Saturn ports and stuff,
Master System ports would be cool.
Master System, I'd be all about that. Once they start doing that, I think that they'll really generate a lot more interest.
But, I'm really sort of surprised that the release cadence of these Sega Forever games has been so slow.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
it was every week for like the first few months and then, but it was all like Genesis games or previously ported mobile versions of
Dreamcast games. That was the thing. They had a good release cadence, but it was like, oh, you'll never believe it's coming out this week. Golden Axe.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, cool. Like that's been like the shit you port to everything on the planet since I was born.
Right. So, don't you want to play Altered Beast again? Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard pass.
Nope. That game was bad in the arcade, worse on Genesis, and even worse on my phone. So no thanks.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out. We have some exciting Hearthstone news on Touch Arcade. Well, so first of all, the Boomsday Project expansion is now live in Hearthstone. So if you are a Hearthstone person, get to cracking those packs. Second of all, we have a pretty cool partnership we formed with the dudes from the Coin Concede podcast, which is, you know, just another Hearthstone kind of podcast that recaps all the stuff that's happening over the week, what's going on in like the competitive scene and stuff like that. Because I've really been looking for someone that is going to do like a weekly Hearthstone roundup for quite a while, like ever since Tasso's kind of like got too busy with his real job and his real career path and, you know, real adulthood, basically. And it's been kind of tricky, like finding someone that is both into the game and reliable enough to like commit to a weekly thing. Because like it seems like I find people that can like post one thing, no problem.
Right.
Like that's easy. Someone that's going to do something reliably every week, that's very difficult. But it turns out like the Coin Concede guys were basically putting together like the articles they wanted to publish as preparation for recording their podcast. It's part of like a Google Doc that they all shared, so they like knew what they were going to talk about. And it really just took like a little bit more massaging to get that those kind of show notes into a publishable article. So it's really pretty cool how the roundups that we're doing now kind of like really coincide with the podcast that they record. So it's like you can either read it on TetraCade or listen to their podcast or do both. Because, you know, they kind of like bullshit like we do and kind of, you know, give their opinion on stuff. So that's really neat. Always up for other interesting partnerships like that. Because I feel like that's the only way that sites like TetraCade and, you know, podcasts like Coin Concede can really thrive is by, you
Right.
know, all working together. Because I really don't believe that we're ever competing with each other on stuff like that. So this story was kind of ridiculous. It's always a bad sign when something on Reddit is near the top of the front page to do with mobile gaming. And this one I feel like was very apt, and they're definitely getting shit that they deserve. So the game Battle Camp's been out for a while now. It's basically, I don't know, like if you mix like Summoner's War and those kind of like gacha games with like kind of like a Pokemon sort of monster evolution, you know, training evolution mechanic kind of thing. So you know, being a very typical free-to-play game, you know, you guys no doubt know how free-to-play push alerts work, where it's like, you know, just exists to remind you to play the game, basically. You
I
know,
haven't seen
like,
you in a while. Don't you want to hop in and do
like,
some stuff? Like,
oh, you know, two new characters added. You got, you know, 250 coins to buy them. Like, come back
hate
in.
those. I hate those.
So, you know, Battle Camp, in their infinite wisdom, decided to send out a push alert to everyone that had the game installed that says, in all caps, emergency! Exclamation mark! Emergency! Exclamation mark! You're not playing Battle Camp. I think we may have gotten to you in time, but hurry back before it's too late. Which had like a lot of people flipping their shit because, and understandably so, because I mean, like, I get a lot of alerts on my phone. I feel like most people do. And like, you know, what I do is I like glance at them, like, I don't care about this. Some idiot's tweeting that I'm an idiot. You know, someone else wants to argue with me over email, and I just, you know, whatever, don't care. Put my phone back in my pocket, right? Whereas, like, if you get an alert on your Apple Watch or you see something on your phone and, like, the first two words are, like, emergency, emergency,
In all
in
caps,
all caps, you're not thinking, like, oh, this is a clever ploy from a free-to-play game to get me to come check back in. You're thinking, like, oh, shit, like, something, like, what's happening?
Where are the bombs dropping?
Yeah, like, you know, I compare this in the article to that Hawaii missile alert that happened, where it was like, what did that specifically say? It was, yeah, emergency. So this happened back in January of this year. People in Hawaii, if you missed this news story, which it was, I don't know how you could, because it was so ridiculous. They got the emergency alert, like you might have if, you know, there's like a flood watch in your area or like an Amber Alert or something like that. That in all caps said, ballistic missile inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Which, I mean, I'm happy it turned out to be a drill, or, you know, just a fuck up and like everything was okay. But like, man, it just it really seems not cool if you're a free-to-play game to be sending out alerts that are like, all, you know.
It's not. I'm curious who thought that was a good idea in the first place. And I'm curious if anything will happen to
Well,
them.
I kind of doubt it,
Probably not.
but I don't know. So that's the end of the news that I have to talk about. So you can decide our fate here. Do you want to talk about Switch games or do you want to talk about mobile games?
Oh, I don't know. How what's our time looking like?
I don't know. It's we're unless you got shit to do, I can do both.
Yeah, we can do whatever.
All right. So let me gush about Octopath Traveler on Switch. Not on, this is not on mobile.
That game's dumb.
Have you played it?
I just played the demo.
How far did you get in it?
Not far.
Oh man, dude, this game is my jam. Like,
Yeah, I want to give it another try.
I don't remember the last time I've been so captivated by a Square Enix RPG since like Final Fantasy VI.
Hmm.
So what I love about this game, and do I feel like I've had like major Squeenix RPG fatigue.
Yeah.
Over the last few years, I mean, like they're, like I buy their games and like I play a little bit of them, but just eventually kind of like get over it, you know. And like, right. I beat Final Fantasy 15 largely because like the internet as a whole wouldn't shut up about that game as being like right. the best thing ever. And like I just kept playing it being like, I don't know, like it's probably gonna get good, like, you know, it's got like a flawless score on Metacritic, like surely this game is good, right? But oh, poor Rambo. So anyway, the problem that I had with Final Fantasy 15 is very similar to that of like a lot of modern Square Enix or just kind of like RPGs in general, and that like the story is so incredibly over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it seems like that's what sells RPGs these days. It's these like mm-hmm. battle sequences where it's like, oh, you're fighting this 2,000-foot-tall titan versus your, yeah. you know, angel summon that you, you know, pulled off or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like ridiculous. Like, yeah. like particularly Final Fantasy 15 is egregious when it comes to this because it's like
yeah.
you're this like emo prince that, you know, like yeah. like isn't really too into being a prince and is just like yeah. on this road trip with his buddies and then like. Night falls and then like, all right, well, I guess we're fighting the 10,000 foot tall titan now with my
yeah.
you know, like that's the curve of these kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
And Octopath Traveler for one is like one of these like it's hard to come up with a better way to put it than like Nuevo Retro.
I
feel like
right.
it's a genre where it's like pixel art but with like modern particle effects and
yeah.
other kind of like visual flair and stuff to kind of like like very flawlessly blend like old school graphics with like modern sort of
it's got a really
flair.
Rad look,
like it's really really cool. So that's one thing, but like what I really really like about it is that the story of the game is very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like such an odd thing to be so attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
But like it reminds me of you know, and I've used this to explain it to like several friends of mine. And I think I even like tweeted something to the fact is that the character stories remind me of what would be like a Dungeons and Dragons like beginner campaign.
Mm-hmm.
In that like, so for instance, like one of the characters is a apothecary, and like you know you start out, you learn his backstory, like you know his parents died, he just wants to be like a you know the best healer in the world, like he just wants to learn how to like make sick people better. And you know you're in this little town, and one of the kids in your town like it's sick or poisoned or something like that, and you need to like go to the bottom of this like treacherous cave to get this one particular flower to make this potion that's going to make her better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, you go down, you fight your way down, you fight a bunch of monsters. There's like this big snake guarding the flower thing that you need to get, you know, so you fight the boss, you get the flower, you go back, save the girl, everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of how the game goes. Like all mm-hmm. the stuff that you need to do is very reasonable,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. It's weird how much I found myself appreciating that.
Instead of like, you're this orphan peasant boy. And yeah. By the way, you're going to have to like save the world by fighting giant monsters. And all of a sudden you have combat skills and, I never liked that sort of stuff, those RPG tropes.
Yeah, so Octopath Traveler like has, and I'm very far into the game, like I am like one chapter away from completing it so far, and none of the, all right, well, you know, this was just the tutorial, now you got to save the world because you know space demons are coming and you know all your parents are dead and all mm-hmm, this other mm-hmm. stuff, like there's none of that in this game. And I just love it for that because, like, each character has their own interesting, tight-knit, very believable story
mm-hmm.
that is just, I don't know, like, nothing, like, really major happens, which makes everything feel so much more plausible. And because mm-hmm. of that, it's like you get into the characters way more mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, all right, yeah, like, I understand the drive of, like, you know, your parents died of this weird illness or whatever, and you just want to be like the best healer so that doesn't happen to other people. Like that,
right.
that to me makes logical sense.
Yeah.
And the adventure that ensues also makes a lot of sense. As again, versus, you know, the typical Square Enix thing where it's like, oh, you had an argument with your parents and you left town, you came back and it's on fire and now there's demons everywhere and you got to save the world.
Right.
You know, which, so if you have a Switch and you've been burnt out on modern RPGs, I highly, highly, highly recommend checking out Octopath Traveler. It might be my favorite Switch game so far, which is high praise on a system that has just been like a monkey's paw wish of incredible games. And cooler yet is it has a demo that is, I think you can play, you play the demo, or that's, so you can play like the first chapter of any of the characters, right? Or something like that.
I played the prologue demo, the first one that came out.
Yeah. So what's the basis of that though? What's the setting? Then,
you start in a town and go around and meet people, and I didn't get too far into it. But then the newer demo is actually like the first 3 hours of the actual game.
Oh, okay.
And then when you beat it, you can transfer your progress to the full game. Yeah. Something like that. Because the prologue thing was like a whole, it's like a separate little story thing.
Is it? I think so, yeah. Yeah, so zero risk to try this game out. Like, download the demo, see if you like it. If you like it, buy the game. All your progress transfers. You didn't waste any time or anything else. I think the way it works is you can play the first chapter of any of the characters in the demo.
It might be, yeah.
So by then, you'll have a really good... You'll know exactly what I'm talking about, and I would hope that you would like the game, because it's really, really good. So, that's Octopath Traveler, the best game I played recently on the Switch. So, as far as new games that have come out this week, I am super into Sneak Ops by Noodlecake.
I've been waiting to try this out. I haven't dove in yet, but it looks rad.
You played it at GDC, right?
I don't think so.
Who didn't? Oh, did I do the noodle? I don't know. It's like
you noodled it, GDC.
Yeah. So, Sneak Ops is like if you took what is it? Leap Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you took Leap Day but applied it to a stealth game.
Mm-hmm.
So, every day you get these additional levels like generated random levels mm-hmm. that you play, and it's kind of like if you took a very basic top-down Metal Gear Solid kind of game. Like you're taking out guards, you're avoiding cameras. There's different kind of like tiles and stuff that do different things, like tiles that make you especially noisy, so you have to like run past them and then run out of the level and stuff. And the way it monetizes and the progression is locked is through these kind of like checkpoint systems where you need to collect these floppy disks in game, and then the floppy disks allow you to save at a checkpoint. Otherwise, if you die, you go back to the beginning or the last checkpoint that you unlocked.
And if you pay, so it has ads too, and if you remove ads, does it just unlock all the checkpoints for you too?
That is a good question.
They mentioned that it does on the forums.
Well, so like, honestly, I haven't found the free to play stuff to be that annoying at all, to the point that like, I haven't even really, I mean, cause like, you know, a lot of the time these games are like, man, this is fucking annoying. Like I'm going to buy the no ends like immediately, but this, I don't know, like it's just not bothering me.
Yeah.
Which I don't know.
Leap Day was kind of like that too, where it's like, if you didn't buy the ad removal stuff, it was like fine.
Yeah, and it's got like all this you know, Crossy Road kind of character unlocking junk that, you know, constantly getting shit. And
I like this a lot. I'm definitely gonna play that.
Yeah, no, like Sneak Ops seriously is so good, and the levels are daily, and everyone, I'm pretty sure everyone plays the same one. I mean, it seems like that's the basis of it. So it just seems like a really cool opportunity to be like, oh man, like this one level, this today's level is so hard. Like, you know, how'd you beat it or
yeah,
whatever else. So yeah, I mean, like, you know, here's how it works. You know, you can just watch the ad to unlock the checkpoint or whatever else. And like, I don't know, like, I don't mind watching an ad to unlock a checkpoint. Like,
yeah,
it's a very, very normal sort of thing. So, I really, really recommend checking out Sneak Ops.
How are you controlling your person? Do you just tap where you want them to go?
Yeah, so it's got like a grid that like it's sort of a tile-based game, even though it like doesn't really immediately appear to be tile-based. Mm-hmm. And you oh shit, I just died.
You got killed.
And I didn't unlock the checkpoint, so now I have to do the whole thing over
again. Idiot. Should have watched an ad.
But yeah, you just tap where you want to go, and your guy just moves like does pathfinding to that specific location, and then you know you're good to go. You're just you're in.
Yeah.
You're sneaking.
Hmm. So. I like it. I think the Leap Day model is such a good model that I wish more games utilize, because there's so many like I don't know, endless sort of arcade high score chasing sort of games that are fun, but then they get boring at a certain point when you can't beat your highest score or something like that. And what Leap Day sort of did is jump in there and like give you like a daily thing to do, like something different every single day, utilizing the same sort of like solid mechanics they had. And so I feel like you could almost apply that same sort of thing to like a bunch of different genres,
yeah,
sort of as they've done here with stealth games, and they've Leap Day'd it. And I think that's just awesome. They should do that with a lot more types of games.
Yeah, so it's basically like crossing Leap Day with Crossy Road is how mm-hmm. the monetization of the game works, which
I like that.
Just a really, really, really well done, cool game. I don't know, just I have nothing but good things to say about it. I mean, like most stuff Doodle Cake releases is good, but this seems especially good.
Well, free, so go try it, people.
Yeah. Sneak Ops, check it out. So Wonder Blade, this is a game that you put on the list.
Oh God, yeah, I have such a I'm so into this game right now. This just sort of came out of nowhere, and I wrote up a thing about it and sort of mentioned that back in the day, it was mobile was so rad because you'd like open up the app store or you'd wake up one day and look at our forums or something like that, and just some random ass game from somebody you've never heard of before would come out and it would just be this awesome game, and you'd be like, what is happening? Like, where did this come from? And so that doesn't happen so often anymore with everything being free to play and whatever and all the stupid reskins and shovelware. But like, so this game just came out of nowhere and I was like, this looks kind of cool, I'll download it. And I downloaded it. And somebody messaged me and was like, have you played this yet? And the comments in the forums and stuff are just like ridiculous. And so I was like, no. So I was like, I need to make a point to actually try this game today. And was super blown away by just how well made it is and how like funny it is and just how much, you know, polish and personality it has. And it's a two-person game that they've been making for years. And so essentially what it is it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up at its core.
Holy moly, if you would tell me like this is like the new Mika Mobile game, I'd be like, oh yeah, cool.
I compare it to Mika Mobile, like Zombieville and OMG Pirates back in the day. It really reminds me of those games. But so it's got really solid, you know, combat mechanics too. You know, a lot of beat 'em ups are just like, you know, two buttons, mash away at them, nothing really crazy about it. This one's definitely can be button mashy if you want, but you have sort of like a melee sword attack. And then you have a separate button for like a magic attack that has a recharging use, so you can't just spam it. And then you have a jump and you have a roll, and you can actually combine a lot of those moves together. So you can like jump and shoot your magic out, or if you jump in the air and hit the roll button, you'll actually do like a ground pound sort of attack or whatever. And so there's like some nuance to the combat, and it's actually just really snappy.
This is really cool.
And so. But what's really cool about it is that, okay, so you just did a fatality too. So another thing is when you're beating up on one of the bad guys, when their health gets low, you can actually trigger like a one button fatality. And I don't think
executions
I've seen...
in the game.
Oh, sorry. It's probably a trademark term if you say fatality. But anyway, I don't think I've seen, there's just so many different fatality animations too. So if you enjoy that sort of thing like I do. You'll get a kick out of that sort of stuff. But anyway, just the combat's super fun. And so what really kind of blew my mind about this is so it starts out in the early goings, you're sort of playing like an arena style wave based take on a bunch of enemies sort of thing. And then something happens and the game branches out to become like a side scrolling, you know, Final Fight or Streets of Rage style beat 'em up. And so you play through the whole first level beating up people. There's like a mid boss and then there's like a final boss. And they're both really unique and fun battles. And then you beat that and you move on to the level two. And level two is not, it changes things up. It's actually more like it's kind of like the hover bike level from Battletoads. You're riding a pig and you're getting chased by this giant rock golem. And you're leaping over, you know, barriers and looking out for lasers and all this crazy stuff that's like, it totally changes things up. And so if you watch the trailer for this game, you'll see that they do that. Every so often throughout the game, there's definitely like things that break up the beat 'em up gameplay. And that I really appreciate too, because like I was saying, you know, the combat can get repetitive in those games, but also just marching through each level, beating up people, it can get kind of monotonous. So when they throw like new game mechanics at you and new types of levels and stuff like that, goes a long way towards like really breaking up the monotony or the repetitiveness. And beyond all that, it's just like shocking how well this game is made. The graphics are super good, and the music is super good, and it's funny. And I don't know, I just like can't stop saying good things about this game. Plus, I love beating 'em up, so it's like super right up my alley. I guess if you don't like those types of games, maybe it's not going to blow your mind, but it just, I don't know. I just can't believe when a game like this comes out, it's $3, no in-app purchases, nothing like that. It was made by two people, and they put out this level of quality game that could be like an indie game on Switch or something like that, or
Yeah, I was
Xbox
going to
Live
say,
Arcade.
like, this almost seems like a missed opportunity to launch on mobile, given the current, like,
Right.
market climate.
Oh, it'd easily be a $10 or $15, even $20 Switch game. So, I don't know. They should port it to that. But I
This
guess they've been
reminds me
working on.
of, God, what's that? What's the Xbox co-op beat 'em
Like
up?
Castle Crashers?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's similar sort of like style and kind of that kind of combat and stuff. But yeah, it's just so good. Like I just was playing it with just like a big smile on my face. It's that kind of game. And yeah, I don't know. Everything's good about it. I think if you like these kind of games, just watch the trailer. And if the trailer looks cool to you, put down your $3 because it's super worth it. I don't know how long it is or whatever. Oh, and I totally forgot to mention, there's like all these RPG elements weaved in so that you actually level up as you play, and then you can unlock skill points that you can apply to various, you know, attributes, and then you can unlock tons of different magic spells. There's like I don't know, 15 or 20 different magic spells that you can unlock. And then there's like similarly a couple dozen different types of like swords that all have different attributes and stuff that you can choose from. And there's just so much crazy depth going on beyond your normal like standard beat 'em up that it's just awesome. It's so good. It's such a good game.
Yeah, this
And
is shockingly cool.
we've never heard of it before. I've never heard of the developer before. We've never gotten an email about this. They just started their Twitter account, so it's not like they've even been hyping it on Twitter or anything like that. I feel like these guys just hunkered down in secret and made this game over the last couple of years and then just sprung it on the world just to see what would happen, which I feel like is the worst PR
Yeah.
strategy you ever have, ever. But whatever, it
This is
caught
like
my
the kind of thing
attention.
that they probably could have gotten like a real deal publisher to
Oh, for
release this,
sure.
and I don't
Yeah,
know.
it's shocking how good it is for being like a two-person sort of hobbyist kind of thing.
Because
How
being
good.
so like Skunk Works with it, it's probably not featured anywhere, right? Like you didn't see it featured on the App Store at all.
I have not looked, but I seriously doubt it because it just came out today. And, you know, after we post about it, they'll probably feature on the App Store. But anyway, yeah, it's just crazy. I
Yeah,
know,
this is
but
really good.
I get excited for games a lot, but sometimes games come out and I'm just like almost can't believe how good they are and where did they come from. And this is totally one of those. So Wonderblade, that's another thing. Don't let the generic name throw you off. Like I feel like if we weren't like we didn't have our forums where people were kind of like saying great things about this game and urging other people to play it, and then I'm playing it, getting impressed and posting about it, and then hopefully people are reading that and also checking out the game. And I feel like in any other world, this game that's got like a pretty generic title that kind of looks like, you know, could be a million other games would just go by unnoticed and just sink into the sea of all the dumb crap on the App Store.
Dude, I would argue this is like legitimate like game of the year consideration material. Like this is
Thank
fucking
you. I'm
ridiculous how
not
good this
crazy.
game
I'm feeling
is.
like, am I crazy? But it's so fun and it's so good. So, yeah, definitely
Why
check it
is
out.
this on mobile? I mean, not to disparage the platform or anything, but like
It would have been a super hot like Steam or Switch game that could come to mobile in like 3 months and get everyone excited that it was getting ported to mobile. But it's made for ground up mobile. And even though it's like, you know, virtual button situation, I haven't really had too many issues where, you know, you're hitting the wrong button or anything like that. I don't know if it has controller support or not, but
I would think so,
works
because like
fine.
the buttons are the same color and layout of an MFI controller, so
Yeah, would make sense,
I don't
but
have mine
so
on
now
my
here you
mouse.
have your like your requisite beat 'em up elevator level. So you're going up on an elevator beating up dudes as they fly in. It's just so good.
Yeah, this is nuts. This game is amazing.
Wonder Blade, buy it. Spend $3 on a video game.
Yeah, why is this game only $3? What the?
I don't know. It's crazy. I want to talk to these dudes. I don't even know their email or anything. So
I love that you can like juggle guys too, like to keep your combo going. Like that's the cool.
You can juggle them. You can air juggle them. Like the combat's super nuanced, and I don't know. It's just really, really good.
I just got a naughty 83 chain combo.
I think I got it over 100 just because I took a bunch of damage and stuff, but I was like, what happens if you get over 100 and nothing that special happened? But
yeah, no,
this I don't even think you get anything for having high chain or high combos. I think it's just for fun.
This is amazing. Everyone download this game.
Under Blade.
I almost feel like talking about Shaq Fu now is going to be a disappointment.
I don't even know what to say about Shaq Fu. It's funny because it's a beat 'em up.
It's crashing on my iPad, so.
Oh, well, we can probably just get Shaq Fu. I don't want to, you know, discount it too much because it's a good game. It actually is a really good beat 'em up, but and really good graphics. But man, super juvenile humor and kind of just like a lot of stuff. You think that they're going to be like, oh man, people are going to think this is so funny, and it's just not. And gets kind of annoying. I don't know, depending on how much you can put up with that sort of stuff. But the nice thing about the mobile version is that it's free to download, and then you pay $5 to unlock the rest. So if you're okay with, I think it's like a 1.3 gigs or something, it's kind of a big game. But if you're okay with eating the big download, it's worth trying the free version just to see if you like it. Because the combat and stuff, it's actually a really solid game. But I don't know, some of the humor or whatever might kind of put people off, and a lot of stereotypical jokes and stuff like that are sort of like, I don't know, who thought this was funny? So beyond all that stuff, though, it's worth trying out for free.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this is if you bought that NBA Rivals game on the Switch, mm-hmm. you get this for free, right? You still get it for free?
Yeah.
But is it still free, though, if you...
Oh, no. You had to have bought it before they released their big update that fixed that terrible initial release.
Well, no. So if you did, like, so I bought it and I downloaded this when you told me to on the Switch. I haven't played it yet, but is it still free if that's the case, or was there like a limited window?
No, I don't think so. I think as long as you bought it before the date they set, that you should always be able to download Shaq Fu for free. I think it checks the receipt date or something like that.
So basically, if you bought that absolutely horrible NBA Rivals Switch game,
Playground.
Oh yeah, sorry. NBA Playgrounds on release day when it was like one of the first eShop games. That's why I bought it, because it was like, I want to try an eShop game. Like this one.
It was pretty broken. It came a long way, but yeah.
Yeah. So whatever. If you were like me and bought that super early, you got Shaq Fu for free. So definitely check that out.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
But just get Wonder Blade instead for $3.
Yeah, no, for real.
So good.
So yeah, I think that's going to be our podcast for this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, like Touch Arcade, want us to keep it on despite seemingly every force in the universe, including Apple, wanting us to not keeping on, we'd appreciate it if you would check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade. Alternatively, if you're not into the Patreon thing, totally get it. It still goes a long way if you check out our various Amazon items of the day, or if just do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. We get a cut of anything that you buy once you click through our link. And believe it or not, it adds up to be pretty decent. So definitely check that out. Otherwise, we will catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show. Don't forget to download Wonder Blade and Sneak Ops. Both really good. So yeah, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.